How many of you have ever seen Mount St. Helens live? Just a question off the start. There's like a couple of hands going up. If we could get that picture up. One of my best buddies, Nathan, we were friends back in high school, like since high school, and he's since moved to Portland, Oregon. And so every few years, me and a buddy of mine would often go out and visit him and just spend some time together. And so maybe 7-8 years ago, we had a chance to go and see Mount St. Helens. And if you're not, some of you are probably familiar with the story of Mount St. Helens. In 1980, it was a mountain. It was like, it wasn't like that. It looks like kind of like a giant saddle or something. That was a mountain peak that went straight up, and it was beautiful. In the foreground there was like lake area in those areas, just beautiful nature, awesome. The thing was is that the thing's a volcano. And in 1980, the volcano went. And you can see some footage of it online, actually, where the top of the mountain basically, well, it just exploded and kind of the side, and it slid off. Major landslide, loads of destruction. It's wild. This picture was taken from 5 miles away, and there's still trees that were like knocked over that you can see like miles away from this thing from the force of the blast. It's unreal. The problem is that when you go to a place like Mount St. Helens or any like really beautiful place, Grand Canyon, something like that, you take a picture of it, and even as you take a picture, you look at your picture, and then you look up at the real thing, and you're like, this doesn't do it justice at all. And I realized that as soon as I took photos of Mount St. Helens, like this picture was taken 5 miles away, and there's no picture, there's no documentary you can watch online. There's nothing that you can see that actually does justice to the fact when you come in front of this massive mountain that had its whole top blown off. Like there's just nothing that gets close to actually, you have to actually experience it. And that's sort of a bit like what God's like. Like there's no sermon I could possibly preach. There's no class I could possibly teach to our students at GMDS. There's nothing I could possibly do that could accurately describe the fullness of who God is. He's just so much greater. It's like you can preach a sermon on the love of God, and you can talk, you can sing, Jesus loves me, this I know. But when you experience his love for real on the inside of you, something changes. It's just totally different. The picture just doesn't do it justice. And it's the same with the Lord, that you can read about him, you can study him, but until you encounter him for yourself, you're missing out on the greatness of who God is. And that's one of the challenges when it comes to Christianity, because sometimes I think we can fall into this trap of thinking that Christianity is about saying a prayer, going to church, trying to live a nice life. But it's about so much more than that. We've had a chance over the last few years, me and my wife Julie, to do some traveling to some national parks, and often we kind of even you go through one in a day, it's nice, like down in the States, but you could spend weeks combing through the land and just seeing all the beauty that is there. And again, that's like God. There is so much more to him than what we have right now. There's so much more to relationship with him than what we have right now. He's a God of encounter. In John chapter 15, Jesus, he says this kind of this incredible thing, and he's telling us, he says, abide in me as I abide in you. And he's saying that we're supposed to live this life of abiding in him, in prayer, in worship, in communion with him. And he says, I'm supposed to abide in him in the same way that he abides in me. And that's a great verse, but when you actually stop and think about it, like, what does it mean that the God of the universe lives on the inside of you? That's staggering. That's mind-blowing. That you got to sit down and think about that one for a while. And I honestly think that that's a mystery, that the fullness of it, like we'll never fully comprehend how amazing it is that God lives on the inside of us. There's so much more. And that's our heart as a church. We want to be a church that's hungry for more of God. We want to be a church who has this understanding that God, by very definition of being God, that he is greater, more amazing, more astounding than we could possibly imagine. And the joy of Christianity is that we get to spend our lives searching out the knowledge of who he is. I like to use this phrase, whether it's about the Bible, but it's even more accurate about God. It's like the awesomeness of God is like a vast ocean, and we're merely in the kiddie pool. And the Lord, he's inviting us, get out of the kiddie pool and get into the ocean of exploring who he is, of knowing his heart, of knowing his ways, of having relationship with him, of having communion with him, of having a heart that is alive and burning in love with him, of seeing his power work through us as his church. He's inviting us into all of those things. The question is, how do we get from here to there? Like, how do we get from where we are right now in our faith into these greater depths that the Lord is calling us into? And I believe that fasting is one of the most important weapons that the Lord has given us to grow our relationship with God. Fasting is one of the greatest weapons. It's almost like a Holy Spirit cheat code. It's this way of going faster, farther, faster than you ever could have on your own strength. And so that's why I want to talk about fasting today. I know that we're just starting tomorrow our 3-week Daniel fast, and in a church in any sort of church, there's different levels of experience with fasting. Maybe some of you have a lot of experience with fasting. Probably many of you are like me in that growing up, we heard almost no sermons about fasting, heard very little teaching about fasting. In some ways, it was almost, when I was growing up, fasting almost seemed to be something for super spiritual people. It was almost like for people who were like missionaries or great heroes of the faith or maybe pastors or something like that. Like fasting was a thing over here. But in the early church, fasting wasn't that way at all. Fasting was just normal. In fact, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, he's teaching his disciples, and he starts off by saying, and when you fast, and that's kind of really important, those three words, when you fast. He didn't say if you fast, he said when you fast, because Jesus just assumed that all of them were fasting. That fasting was a regular part of their experience. And so in the early church, fasting wasn't like for super spiritual people. It was just normal Christianity. You would like pray, you would obey God, you would fast. It was just normal. In fact, in the early church, many, many believers fasted twice a week on Wednesdays and on Friday. Like this was something that was key and important to their lives. And the question is like, okay, why? Why fast? Like do we fast because, well, it's January and we've just been eating like garbage for the past month. And so it's like, now we need to lose some weight, and I guess we'll throw Jesus into there somehow. I don't know, but we're going to lose some weight. Great, we're fasting. Or is fasting way more than that? And this morning, I just want to share with you that fasting is not dieting. Fasting is way more than that. Fasting is saying no to even legitimate things so that we can have more of God. Fasting is humbling ourselves before the Lord, saying no even to legitimate things, even to legitimate pleasure, as a sign of saying, God, I want more of you. I want you more. I want you more than these other things. So I want to share just today some really practical things, hopefully that will help you, about what fasting does on the inside of us and some things to expect as we jump into this Daniel fast over the next three weeks as well. Fasting is a spiritual accelerant into the heart of God. It's a spiritual accelerant into his heart. It will take you again. It will take you farther, faster than you could on your own. So sometimes people come up and we have conversations and they're saying, oh, I'm just feeling so lukewarm in my faith right now. And so then we'll have the conversations. Have you been spending time in prayer? Have you been spending time in the word or in worship? Stuff like that. But then invariably I get to the point and I just say, you know, if you're really serious about this thing, if you're really serious about getting out of lukewarmness, fast. Like if you want to do the quick version of this thing, is say no to food, say yes to Jesus, and watch what he begins to do on the inside of you. It softens our heart towards God as we voluntarily submit to him. Here's part of what happens when we fast is you're fasting, now you're not eating food, and sometimes even it's thinking up to the fast, you're like, oh boy, I'm not going to be able to eat this food here or there. And we start thinking about those things. And as we start thinking about those things, what we want to do in our hearts is saying like, okay, yeah, I'm not going to be able to eat this or I'm not going to be able to eat that, but God, I want you more. And then you start fasting and you're hungry and you're like feeling some of the hunger pangs, or maybe you're getting a little bit hangry, like you're getting a little grumpy because you're addicted to coffee and now you don't have it, and it's like coffee is what helps you function as a normal human being, and you're not a very nice human being when you don't have your coffee. Probably need to repent of that instead of drinking coffee, by the way, but but it's like, it's true, right? Like we medicate ourselves with food. But what we do is we say, God, I'm feeling weak right now. God, I need you. God, I want you more. And you're feeling a hunger pang, you're in the middle of the day, and it's like you're feeling the hunger on the inside, and it's like, oh, I could really go for something right now. And then you turn that into prayer and say, but Lord, I want to know you more. God, I want to go deeper in knowing you more than I want this. And you start thinking about God all the time in the middle of fasting. And so your heart starts to become more tender to him. It will make you more open to his leadership, because as you submit to him and now you're spending more time thinking about him, now you're available to say yes to him and his leadership as he leads you. And I like to use the example that it makes your life like a landing strip. I just imagine like at an airport, a landing strip with all the lights lit up. It's like a landing strip for the Holy Spirit. It's our way of saying, God, I want you more than I want food. God, I want you more than I want other things. God, would you come and move on the inside of me? See, I believe that something that is so important when it comes to our prayer lives is that God is moved by our weak and desperate prayers. I think those are the most powerful prayers you can pray, the ones that are weak and kind of desperate. It's not the self-righteous prayers. God, I thank you, I have it all together, and I'm such a good faster. It's like, Lord, I haven't even started fasting yet, and I'm a bit of a mess because I don't want to do this. Ah, Lord, like, help me, God. Those are the prayers that move his heart. And so we want to understand that, because when we come to him in fasting, sometimes we think what's going to happen is, I'm going to seek God in fasting. Awesome. Day one of the fast. Okay, when do the heavens open up, you know? When does his glory descend into the room? When does my prayer life become amazing? And then you start doing that, and instead you're like still as dull and bored as you were before. You're like, this fasting doesn't help at all. Like, I don't feel any closer to God, and I'm hungry. This is really bad. And the reality is that that's perfect. Because what happens sometimes is we start to come to him in fasting and we're expecting the heavens to open, they don't. And we come face to face with our own barrenness. We come face to face with the reality that we don't have as much God as we think we do. We come face to face with the reality that I'm going to set time apart with you in prayer, God, and you're like 5 minutes in and you're bored. Like, what do I even do? I thought this fasting was supposed to be awesome. This is exactly what fasting is supposed to do. Get us in touch with the reality that we don't have nearly as much of him as we think we do. And now our heart is ready to start praying some like really good weak prayers to him. Like, God, I don't even know why I'm doing this dumb fast. I don't even want to fast. I don't know. But God, I want you more. And the Holy Spirit starts to do a work on the inside of us. That we come to him in our weakness. That we come to him not having it all together. We come to him in our vulnerability and say, God, I need more of you in my life. God, I'm a little embarrassed. I'm opening up my Bible to fast and I'm distracted. I can barely read a word off the page. This isn't really connecting with my heart. I'm praying. I thought this was supposed to bring me so much closer to you. God, I don't know. But God, I want to be close to you. Would you move on the inside of my heart? And that's a place where the Lord would say, now I have you where I want you. Understanding that apart from me, you can do nothing. Understanding that apart from my work on the inside of you, you have nothing. That's a place of holy desperation. Guys, and we want to be a church that is, by the Holy Spirit, is possessed by a holy desperation for more of him. By a reality that we're not really that cool. We're not really that awesome. We don't really have it that all together, but we know a guy who does. That we know a God who does. And our dependence is not on a building. It's not on programs. It's not on leaders. Our dependence is on Christ and Christ alone. And we have to have more of him. Man, like, GMC is not the hope of the world. It's not the hope of Winkler. Jesus is. Jesus is. He's the one that Winkler needs. He's the one our region needs, our province needs, our nation needs. And as a church, one of the things that fasting does is it helps us come before him and acknowledge, God, apart from you, I have no good thing. God, on my own, I'm not even that impressive, but oh, I want more of you. Guys, this is where the Lord, I think, would look down from heaven and say, all right, now there's a heart I can use. Now there's a person who understands that apart from me, they can do nothing. I want to pour out my power and presence on that person. I want to move in their lives. So fasting is this opportunity to encounter God in a new way, to encounter God in a deep way. But fasting, we're going to do this three-week Daniel fast, and I'm a big believer in three-week Daniel fast. Like, I think these things are important to do, that you might even see some significant breakthrough in the next 3 weeks. But maybe you won't, but maybe you will. But fasting is, biblically, it's a lifestyle, not just an event. And I can point you to all sorts of fasting events in Scripture. That's biblical, that you take a designated time to spend time with the Lord. I mean, Daniel fast, we take that from Daniel chapter 9 and 10, where Daniel goes on this fast before the Lord. I think it's Daniel 10, actually, where it's 3 weeks. And so that's biblical. But the lifestyle is where I think we start to see really deep heart transformation, where fasting becomes part of something we regularly do in our lives. Just think about in a physical sense, because this is like probably most of our experiences, that we hit, you know, this point and we've finished, like I said earlier, a month of just horrible eating choices. But oh, it was good. But oh, it was horrible. And now it's like, okay, now I got to do something. Now I got to get in shape, you know. So now we kind of feel that pressure. And so what do? For about 2 to 3 weeks, we eat healthy and we exercise. And then it's like, oh, I'm good. And then it kind of just ends there, right? There's no lasting transformation that comes out of just like earnestly pursuing physical fitness for 2 weeks a year. You're not, it's good for you. It's better than doing nothing. But if you really want to see change physically, you actually have to adopt a lifestyle of that. It's similar in the spirit, not totally the same, because I believe that God works powerfully over short fasts like this too, but a lifestyle of fasting, now we're talking. That we use this as something at the start of the year, but this isn't the only time we fast during a year. I remember when I first started being involved with fasting, probably back in 2008, I had this piece of advice given to me. And the guy said, hey, fast once a week and don't evaluate it for 6 months. Like, what an interesting piece of advice. Said fast once a week, and what does that look like? Well, it can look like a bunch of different things. Maybe it's once a week where you skip a meal. Maybe it's once a week where you skip all your meals, you just drink water. Maybe it looks like different things for you, but this was his encouragement: fast once a week and don't evaluate it for 6 months. And even 2 or 3 months in, I could start to see the fruit of it. But one of the things we have to be careful with when we enter into a fast is, you know, if you have a tree on your front lawn that you're trying to make grow, and you know, maybe you just planted it, so you know you need to water it. What you don't do is come out every day and see if that tree is growing. What you do is every few months you're going to take notice, like, oh yeah, I can see this thing starting to grow, it's starting to develop, but you're not expecting to see it from day to day to day. I think fasting is similar to that. Like, fasting will make a difference in your life, but the real fruit starts to come when you actually adopt a lifestyle of fasting. And now this is something that I regularly do in my life, that I'm saying no to food so I can say yes to Him. That's where, again, I think we start to see the deeper transformation, because now this is a lifestyle. It's not just an event. So this fast can look like different things. And I'd encourage you, on our website, there's a tab up there that says Daniel Fast, which gives you some great ideas for different things you can fast. I would highly recommend cutting out sweets from your diet over the next 3 weeks. I would highly recommend cutting out caffeine from your diet for the next few weeks. Because again, like I said earlier, then you're going to start seeing who you really are. Like, I remember a number of, this is a while back, but we were with our community, we were doing like in a place where I used to be at church, we did a 7-day fast. And oh, did I start getting grumpy a few days in? Because it's like, oh, this is who Brian is when he's not medicated with food. And again, that was not a sign I needed to stop the fast. It was a sign I needed to repent. That I actually had issues inside of my heart that I could medicate with ice cream, or I could medicate with a burger. And when I didn't have that, I was a grumpy person. And it's like, oh, okay, this starts to show on the inside of you. So you actually want to fast something that actually makes a difference in your daily life. Like, fasting coffee for me doesn't matter. I don't drink coffee, but I do drink pop. So pop's going to be one of the things I'm going to fast, because that will actually make a difference in my life. So you want to make those decisions about what you want to fast. And my encouragement for us as a church is, hey, if you have an accountability partner or maybe a small group you want to talk about this, you can. But for the most part, don't tell other people what you're fasting, because it's not a competition. So some people might go on a fast that looks one way, and another person on a fast another way. Just don't, you don't need to tell everyone. Actually, keep it between you and the Lord. In Matthew chapter 6, Jesus, he gives some highlights into this. I'm all over the place in my notes, so I'll find it. Probably. Hopefully. There we go. Matthew 6, 16 to 18. I have this thing, like I have about an hour worth of stuff I could say, but I have 35 minutes of time, which I realize isn't very good sermon planning, but this is what you get this morning. Happy New Year. But Matthew 6, 16 to 18, Jesus says, when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show what they are, or to show others that they are fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to others that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen, and your Father who is done in secret will reward you. So in other words, it's just, we don't need to broadcast to the world that we're fasting. And it's okay if you're in a setting and someone puts something in front of you and you're like, you're fasting, say, hey, sorry, I'm just not eating any of that for the next few weeks. And if they ask questions, you can answer. But what you don't want to do is just say, I'm fasting, I'm spending time with the Lord, and kind of make it about yourself. Like, you can explain yourself, but you get what I'm saying, right? It's not a competitive thing. It's between us and the Lord, and it's a holy thing. And so Jesus was emphasizing here in Matthew 6 that we're not making a show out of the fact that we're fasting, but that we're just doing it with a heart that's humble before him. Another area of fasting that I think is key in Scripture is this an area of spiritual breakthrough. So I've kind of been emphasizing how fasting shifts things on the inside of our heart. And honestly, I think to me, that's the number one thing we should be going after in our fast is a change in our own heart. But another aspect of fasting that we see is that fasting is what leads to spiritual breakthrough. Joel chapter 2, I like to think of it as God's biblical blueprint for revival. Joel chapter 2. And it talks about repentance, prayer, and fasting. These three things that lead to the outpouring of God's Spirit. And so when we see historic revivals, so often we see that fasting, prayer, and repentance preceded the move of the Holy Spirit. But not only in those cases, but in the individual cases in people's lives where we're looking for breakthrough, we see that fasting is a powerful tool to see breakthrough released. Now this is something really, really important when it comes to fasting. What fasting isn't is a hunger strike that says, God, I'm not going to eat until you do what I want you to do. That's not what fasting is. Fasting is not saying, God, I'm going to starve myself so that you love me more. That's not fasting either. That's twisted. What fasting is us humbling ourselves before him in a show of dependence to him. And honestly, fasting changes our hearts more than it changes the heart of God. It shifts things in the spirit. It's powerful, but fasting shifts things in our heart more than it does in God. God's not impressed by fasting. But what he is impressed by is a humble heart. And so sometimes, again, like we come into a fast and you think, well, if I just don't eat food long enough, God's going to do whatever I want. That's manipulation. No, that's not how it works. But what fasting does is it postures our heart to receive from the Lord. And there's a spiritual power that is released through fasting in a powerful way. One of the best examples of this is in Scripture is Jesus, who goes on a 40-day fast at the beginning of his ministry. And then Luke records that he comes out of the wilderness filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. If you want to see more of the power of God on your life, fasting is one of those ways of humbling ourselves before the Lord, of emptying ourselves of some of the things that we focus on, and allowing the Holy Spirit to move through us. So a few more practicals on fasting kind of before we wrap up. As you get into this fast, a few things you should be thinking about. One is specifically is what are you going to be fasting over the next 3 weeks? So again, there should be a food component of this. And so just make that decision. What does it look like? I would encourage you, no matter what you're fasting, at some point during these 3 weeks, take at least a day on only water. Just a suggestion, you don't have to do this, but take at least one day on only water. Or maybe even do a 2 or 3 days where maybe you're having just a meal a day. If you've never done something like that, stretch yourself in that area of fasting. Get outside of your comfort zone a little bit. I would just encourage you to go after it. Secondly, is I would encourage you to ask the Lord, what do you want me to focus on over these next 3 weeks? So you don't want to have 5 or 6 different focuses of your fast that are main focuses. It's going to start getting a little convoluted, but have a few main things. So one of those things should be for a deeper relationship with Jesus in your heart. But then maybe there's a breakthrough that you're looking for. Maybe there's something going on in your family. Maybe there's something at work, a relational thing you want to pray for. Maybe the Lord would have you pray for something for this church. We have a bunch of different things, even things on the wall out in the foyer that you can see there that are requests that we have as a church, or you can pray for the ministries of this church. But decide what are the main things you're going to focus on. Now, you can pray for a few hundred things during the next 3 weeks. That's awesome. Do it. But I would say have a few main focuses that are kind of the central things that you're asking God for in the middle of the fast. Thirdly, I would encourage you to, in some way, cut back on the amount of like digital media content that you're taking in. So obviously there is, you know, no one did a social media fast in the Bible because there was no social media. And fasting should include an element of food. But I would encourage you is to take these 3 weeks and maybe and reduce the amount of time you spend either online or watching TV. Just reduce it. You know, sometimes we get to the end of a week and we feel like I barely had any time with God. But if you would add up how many hours the average person spends either on TV, watching Netflix, social media, it's like we had lots of time to be with God. We just spent it doing something else. So I would encourage you, cut those things out of your life. You're going to feel the withdrawal of that almost immediately. You're going to be like, oh, I'm used to like, you know, I'm in a line at a grocery store and I'm waiting. I just normally I'd be checking, you know, my whatever. Like in the meantime, just don't do that. And it will drive you a little bit crazy at first on the inside because you're so used to doing that. Use that time to ask for the Lord instead, to ask for more of him, to ask for him to move in your life. Use that time and replace it with prayer. Again, it's so important on a fast. A fast is not a diet. A fast is saying no to things so that we can say yes to more of God. And so we want to make sure that we're increasing the amount of time that we spend in prayer. And so that's why we're having prayer summits the next 2 weeks, and then we're going to have an Alive on the 3rd week of the fast, which are awesome corporate things to do. But spend some time on your own with the Lord as well. It's going to be, a powerful way to see things transformed. One last thing. You might have something specific, an area of breakthrough that you're asking the Lord for. What I would encourage you to do is journal in your prayers. Like journal, write out your prayer to the Lord and then spend some time in listening prayer and asking, hey, Lord, is there something you want to say to me about this? And then write down what you feel like he's saying to you. I'd encourage you to do some journaling, but just be aware of this. This is what the Lord sometimes does. We start coming to the Lord in prayer and we're asking about a certain area where we want to see breakthrough. And he talks to us about 10 other things instead. Just giving you a heads up on this, that this might happen for you. Now, I remember like for years being single, like, Lord, I asked for a wife. I asked that you would provide, that you would move in my life in this way. And I'd spend some time in listening prayer, and he's talking to me about 5 or 10 other different issues in my life. Lord, but what about this wife thing? This is really what I want to see. Lord, would you break in here? And the Lord's like, Brian, I know that you want a wife. You know, I got her picked out for you. You're going to meet her. It's going to be great. But right now, I actually have all these different things I want to do in your heart right now. One of the things that happens during a fast is we slow down enough to hear the voice of God. And sometimes we find out that God's been trying to get our attention for the past 11 months and we haven't been listening. And so now that he actually has us listening, he's like, hey, I want to talk to you about that thing that you're praying to me about. But if I could just be honest with you right now, I've been trying to talk to you about these 10 other things and you're not listening. And you need to know about these 10 other things. I want to talk to you about these things first. And that's frustrating to us because it's like, but Lord, I need this thing. And the Lord's like, I know you need this thing. But I also know you better than you know yourself. And right now, I actually want to address this issue in your heart instead of this thing that you want. I want to address this area of unbelief in your heart. I want to address this area where you don't actually trust me to provide for you. I want to address this area of fear on the inside of you, this area of anxiety. I want to address the way that you're treating those around you in your family or in your workplace or in your life. And I know you want breakthrough over here, but man, I want, the Lord would say, I think you would say, but I want breakthrough over here. And so expect the Lord to speak to you in those ways. As we close off this morning, and again, I would encourage you to check out our website for some more practical tips related to fasting. I've kind of skipped all over the place in my notes, but here's what we want. We want to be a people who are hungry after God. Like, we don't want the reputation that we're hungry after God. We want the reality of it on the inside of us. I want a heart that's softer towards Jesus. I want a heart that loves to be in his presence. I want a deeper prayer life. I want to see his power move through me in a deeper way. But the reality is that sometimes it's like I get so distracted from those things and I say those things with my mouth, but the way I spend my time reflects something totally else about me. And we sang this song in worship. I'm coming back to the heart of worship. And this year, I want to come back to the heart of God. I want to come back to the heart of knowing him. And so I want to invite you to stand, and I want to pray for us as a group as we head into this fast. And maybe there's some of you who are like, you were honestly thinking, I don't think I'm going to do this fast at all. And then you're here right now, and you're like, ooh, I think I need to do this fast. Maybe you need to take a day or two to pray before you jump in and join. That's okay. But I would encourage you, then take some time, ask the Lord about it, but jump on in. I want to pray over you the words of the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 55, 1-2. Come, all who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread and your labor on what does not satisfy? Listen to me and eat what is good, and you will delight in the richest of fare. Jesus, we want to dine on you. As weird as that sounds. As you said in John 6, we want to eat your flesh and drink your blood. Speaking of communion, that bread and that wine, we want to know you. And Jesus, we want you more than we want food. Even if, as we just pray that right now, we only half believe it in our hearts. Lord, we want to want you more than we want food. And I ask, God, that you would release on us the grace to fast over these next 3 weeks. God, I ask for that cry in our hearts. God, I want you more than I want this meal. God, I want you more than I want that coffee. God, I want you more than I want that whatever. Lord, I want you more. God, I thank you that you respond to our weak prayers. That you're moved by them. And Lord, the breakthrough I'm asking for in these next 3 weeks for us as a church, Lord, I pray that you would expand our hearts to receive more of you. That you would bring us before you in humility, in a holy desperation. Would you transform us from the inside out? And then Lord, I pray also as we pray for specific breakthroughs, Lord, I ask for breakthroughs in this church. I ask for miracles where they're needed. I ask for transformation in families. Lord, I ask for prodigals who would come home. God, I ask for illnesses that would be cured by the power of the Holy Spirit. God, I ask for addictions broken off. I ask, God, for hearts melting in repentance. God, would you have your way? In Jesus' name, amen.